100 Word Stories.
Good morning, everyone. This is Lawrence Simon of the 100 Word Stories podcast. One a day until the day I die.com. Are you familiar with that place? I am, because that's where I'm posting this. It's going up there. You are flying through it. Okay, enough weirdness. Weekly challenge number 405. The word is a count. The word, topic, inspiration, whatever it means to you, you have picked it up and rolled it on the counter and chopped it up and put it in the oven. 350 degrees, 15 minutes. Let's see what you've got. Let's see what you've come up with. Let's see what you've put it into, what you've breathed it into. The first story for the week, Tura. Tell us a story.
How can I be overdrawn? I said. Your subscription covers ordinary exertion, explained the smooth young man. Above 100 beats per minute, there's a surcharge. Without payment, we must consider closing your account. You can't stop my heart, I protested. Actually, we can. But perhaps there's another way, he oiled. Consider the brain enhancement. Those cost a fortune. According to the device logs, you spend a lot of time in stressful situations in bad neighborhoods. The authorities might like to see those logs. Alternatively, with an extra mental edge, you could be making a lot of money. We'll do the implant on account.
Thank you, Tura. And remember to pay the balance on your account with 100 Word Stories. We may need to use that ability of yours, the ability to blend in with people who don't tell stories, and maybe tell stories to them, stories which get into their minds. Call that a brain enhancement. Speaking of brain enhancements, how about we enhance our brains with a little bit of John Musico? Paint the fence with us.
The Time Machine by John Musico. In a time many years from now, scientists had finally invented a time machine. The researchers met to discuss where and when their first trip would be to. It was fitting that their inquisitive scientific mind should choose a time in history which begged further research, a famous UFO crash. Until then, any UFO sightings were mere sightings. Unfortunately, the crash left useless clues in the debris. The crew of the time machine set the coordinates. As they approached the precise location and time, a malfunction occurred. The time machine plummeted to Earth and exploded, leaving behind only unidentifiable debris.
Thank you, Mr. Musico. I advise you to take that time machine in. Get the fan belts checked, the gear ratios ratioed, and top off the gas tank. If you run on gas, you may run on dilithium crystals, for all I know. Crystals, hold them up to the light. Look at them, the light shining through. Beautiful patterns. Beautiful. You know who else is beautiful? Jeffrey. He makes beautiful things, especially when those things are stories.
Hello, Jeffrey Fisher here. I have two stories on the topic of account. My first story is called Wonderful Life. George stood on the precipice, looking 27 floors down to the asphalt. His trading account had gone bad, costing the investment bank close to $1 billion, and George was the one responsible. His life was over. Carefully, he placed his alligator skin briefcase, Armani suit jacket, Hermes tie, and Ferragamo shoes on the ledge and prepared to jump. Suddenly, a form loomed above him. Are you an angel? George asked. I am, the creature replied. Are you going to show me how those around me would have been worse off had I never been born? I could, but I don't lie that easily. Let's just forget the trip down memory lane and get this over with. The angel created a gust of wind at George's back, and he fell to his death. All right, that one was maybe too sad for you. Well, let's try again. My second story is called Big Red Button. When courts outlawed lethal injection because some degenerate mass murderer complained that it hurt, the justice system was at a loss as to how to execute Hank, who was on death row for the kidnap and murder of a child. Hanging, firing squad, gas, and the electric chair had already gone by the wayside, so creativity was required. One evening, around his usual exercise time, Hank was left in what looked like a control room and told to wait for another guard, who would take Hank to the yard. One panel had a big red button and a sticky note that read, "Master lock release. Do not push." Naturally, Hank pushed the button, releasing cyanide gas into the sealed room. Dead by his own hand. Mission accomplished. Those are my stories for the week. I will be back next week with more.
He's like the man who carries a bag full of stories, wandering through town, knocking on every door. Hello, miss. Would you like a story? A nice, hot, fresh story. I baked it just for you. Thank you, Jeffrey. And when you come back next week, we'll have butter with the story. Maybe some garlic butter, or honey butter, or chipotle butter. Isn't that cool how there are all kinds of butter now? It used to just be butter in the store. Now there's fancy, amazing butter. We should have butter as a topic, shouldn't we? I don't know, have we? Let's put butter there. Okay. Don't get all weird with it. Don't get all weird with it. Get all freaky with it if you have to. Slather the butter all around. Okay, just what the hell am I doing this week? I don't know who I'm becoming. But one person that does know, well, they're not really a person. They're a robot named Joe, but a mystery robot. Ooh. Can you solve the mystery? Do you want to solve the mystery? I don't know. Let's find out.
Beep, beep. Mystery Robot Joe. Found it! Mara held up an old envelope from the filing cabinets. This guy is a banker, but his student loans were in default before we stored everything on the cloud. Petten gave her a smirk. Although he was the office clown, he did a very poor job of it. Petten leaned down and quietly said, "I used to be a banker, but I lost interest." Mara rolled her eyes at the obvious pun. In a sigh, she stated, "You would be so much more attractive if you never opened your mouth. Can you just send this off to accounts?"
Thank you, Mystery Robot Joe. You could tell me more about it, but you don't know about it? What is that? What is it? Who are you? You're Mystery Robot Joe, of course, and thank you for being a part of the weekly challenge. Please come back. Come back. All of you who have ever been a part of the weekly challenge, this is the clarion bell. Dong, dong. Or is it ding, ding? I don't know. Ding, dong, something like that. But it's the clarion call. Can you hear the clarion call? It is calling you back. We must all come back. I'm back every week. What's your excuse? Oh, that's your excuse? Oh, dear. Is it contagious? One thing that is contagious is, of course, is Richard's joy. Or is that infectious? I don't know. Infectiously contagious? Contagiously infectious? I just know that somehow Gmail screwed up and it lost its stories. His stories are back. And I asked, where were your stories from? Can you resend them? And please, please resend them. I don't know. I don't want you to lose any iron or gold or whatever monkey status. Tom can be so cruel with his updates. But they must be true. Price Waterhouse may even check the statistics to make sure that it's all on the level. Did you know that you can use your iPhone as a level? It's true. It's true. I don't know how, but I think it's in the compass function or something. Or maybe it's Pandora. You thumbs up it and thumbs down it. And then when you achieve perfect thumb buoyancy, yeah, that's level. And then you wind up sticking a book under it. Actually, you could use the iPhone to prop up your table, but you'll break the glass.
Good morning. Well, I don't know what happened to last week's stories. I definitely emailed them twice, once before and once after the podcast, but they seem to have disappeared into the ether. No doubt they're sat on some forgotten, lost property office shelf of the internet, awaiting their moment of rediscovery when they'll suddenly reappear in 3 years' time. All the more ironic since the topic was not found. Anyway, life goes on. This week's topic was account. This is my first story. It's part 42 of George's story, and it's called Armed, Possibly Dangerous. George realised being prepared was little use if he'd no idea what to prepare for. However, he was determined to give a good account of himself if Emily's abductor returned, and to that end he spent most of the morning arming himself with whatever makeshift weapons he could find. He even smeared mud across his cheeks, a tip he picked up from war movies. And midday found him admiring himself in a hand mirror, which he intended using to blind his adversary with the sun's rays. He curled his lip Rambo style and slowly nodded. He was ready. Fate thought otherwise. And my next story is called Spam. There are a few things more irritating than a website that forces you to open an account simply to gain access to its content. That's why my inbox is always full of spam and masses of unwanted special offers and updates. All because I'm given no choice other than to register an account using my email address, just to get past the homepage of literally any site. I have my revenge, though. The slightest hint of spam, and I grab their IP address, set up a massive distributed denial of service attack, sit back and watch the drama unfold. Most satisfactory. My last story this week is called Lovely Teeth. Who is this guy, anyway? My friend insisted. Just someone I met on a dating site. His profile says he's rich, has exclusive tastes, and is a sucker for good-looking women. Even if he's awful, he's promised me a meal that I'll never forget. I'm not sure, she said. How do you know he's rich? Oh, he's loaded. He actually lives in a castle. I've seen the pictures, and he even has a title. Now, what was it? Is he an earl or a lord? No, I remember. Count. I bet you've never had a meal on a count. And on that dreadful pun, I'll say goodbye. Goodbye.
Thank you for those lovely stories spoken through your lovely teeth, Richard. What the hell did happen to those emails? You sent it twice, and it got not founded? Huh. That's not good. Maybe the NSA is reading them and not forwarding them on. You would think that a good spy would forward them on. What do you think it means? I don't know what it means. What do you think it means? What does Lizzie Goodcough think it means? Oh, here's Lizzie's story.
Terminate account blinked on the screen. The technician desperately tried to mend the utter mess created by someone, somewhere, somehow. No one wanted to be blamed for the end of the world, not that it would matter afterwards, so no one said a word. The technician fiddled with the system until the words stopped blinking. Everyone took a deep breath and the room filled with sighs of relief. When the word terminate blinked again, it was too late. At the Cosmos Central Agency, the blue dot vanished, and someone was heard saying, "These humans, they are hopeless." Were. This is my story for this week. Drop by my blog at lizziegoodcough.blogspot.com, and talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Oh, pale blue dot, where have you gone? Oh, Lizzie, find it, find it, find it with our gratitude and thanks all together on a plate with a little bit of parsley on the side, some grapes, some tastefully arranged romaine lettuce. Isn't that beautiful? Maybe even a flower made from a radish. Why can't we just put a flower there? Why can't we just put a flower there? I'll tell you why. Because Singh has plans for the radish. Let us find out.
Foreign Madam and the White Yogi, a verse novel in progress by Chris Mooney Singh, chapter 24. In this installment, Margot, having had her say to Yogi and dispatching him to the town, now has to go to school and do her day's work. School children joined in her Python column, though she said little, leading chirpy kids across ploughed land, the kingdom of the clods, via its grid of Lilliputian levees. Each was closed and opened day or night by hose of farmers when electric pumps sucked up groundwater. These modern Persian wheels drew from a deep source when the bijli came, switched on power according to their quota. Water was not far down. The artesian Ganges ran under marshland. She plodded on, then saw her school with its peepal tree and felt relief. Here she could push the yogi from her mind. Or so she thought. After morning assembly and first lesson, sitting on strips of matting, teachers with their incorrigible canes drilled mindlessness into mindlessness. So she hid in the back room of her own, entering the dusty office before the heat turned the bricks into a potter's oven. She opened accounts, long-hand folios of running blue and blood-red ledger lines where Margot totaled up her ins and outs, the cost of textbooks, copies, rulers, pens, the lack of school fees late as the monsoons. Almost prescient, mind reader Mr. Kumara came in to chat about the school inspector. Krishnan would be coming soon. Krishnan would be demanding. No accreditation, madam, without bribe. Krishnan would not be put off. Krishnan would be harassing us. System is bad. Who can change it, madam? The school inspector would coerce. The school inspector would be closing them. No choice, madam. Someone has to pay. Krishnan will pull strings. Krishnan will poison ears. Krishnan will not spare a decent soul. You must be calling people in Delhi, madam. NGO must help or we are finished. She listened, turning his tirade down to zero. It was less pressing than her silent pain. Yogi might have left, but he didn't leave her. He was far off now, but still inside her head. Accounts had not been settled. Losses incur. Personal debts go deeper into the red. She'd spoken truth and now regretted it, and feared he would lose his way with Bar Hai, fearing too that she would have to sit alone in the heat of her hut. Though wouldn't cry, she had lived in Paris, learned survival praxis. She had got through Slaterman, her rotten bow, endured Pierre, her second evil axis. But the fangs of love grab on and don't let go. The thing was to stay at ease, she told herself. Go out, observe the school day, feel the gusts of breeze, testing how papaya trees must sway. See how Prakriti's knees open toward Rajinda, saying, you may, and how the marshland bees go flower to flower while never going astray. And high reprise of a river osprey circling on time delay, the twitch unease of the grey field vole scarpering out of the way. Tactics, philosophies of calm do not work or help, she thought. Just pray. Come back, Yogi, please. This morning was my moment of foul play.
Thank you, Sing. I feel like all those characters are all a part of my life, watching me, judging me. I forgive them. Next up, we have Zachman, who would never watch you and never judge you, and he'd forgive you if you watched and judged him. But you would never watch and judge him because he is Zachman. Why would you watch and judge him? I don't know. Let's try to come up with a reason. Maybe he butters his bread along the edges instead of on the top. Maybe he likes mangoes. Oh, who could like those?
Almost February again. When I make my New Year's resolution to keep better tax records. Of course, to the dismay of my tax guy, I make that resolution every year after seeing his frustration. I try to look through a year's worth of business expenses and gather end-of-the-year mortgage statements, but all I can think of is how much more fun it would be to be a corporate knight for Metadyne, fighting evil angels and magic files trying to take over the waking world. The waking world would be exciting, but I'm a mundane with mundane tasks.
Your tasks are not mundane. Your burdens are great. Let us bear them with you. With you. Thank you, Zachman. I'm going to get out of character and back into myself for a moment. See if I still fit. See if I need to wear socks. I'm not sure. Everything feels right, I guess. There are more dogs than children in Paris? What? Man, that's crazy. Oh, well, no wonder why they eat dog instead of children. I love these mystery facts, these trivia. The piglet was played by over 30 different piglets because they outgrew the part so quickly. Aww, and they all became bacon. Someone who will never become bacon is Spate, who, okay, I screwed up. I screwed up last week. Everyone got screwed up. I kept forgetting to put stories in. I numbered them. I swear I numbered them all. What did you do to me?
Google?
I'm not switching to Yahoo Mail. I'm not switching to Hotmail. I'm not switching to any other mail, because when you switch, it makes things so screwed up, and you create a chain, a daisy chain of mail. I forward to you, you forward to me, and oh, wait, I just marked you as spam. You'll never get mail forwarded again, and the daisy chain breaks, and there are daisies everywhere. You don't want daisies everywhere, do you, Spate?
It's me, Spate. My story this week is called Cabin Fever in New Hampshire. And here it is. Yep, we get our fair share of snow up here. You can tell a lot about a person by how they handle it. My neighbor down the road, I swear he tries to catch snowflakes before they hit the ground. Saw him out shoveling his whole yard one spring just so he could get to work on the lawn. Me? I do nothing on account it's going to melt anyway. Wife and I just don't go anywhere in the wintertime. We stock up on food and keep the wood stove going full blast. 90 degrees in here. Bears hibernate. We hibernate bear.
That's how it should always be. Everyone, do as Spate says. Thank you, Spate, for that lovely advice. Oh, wait, I just got a new notification. Oh, I'm being notified, and now an email comes. And now the email notification. And now the... Oh, it's all crashed. Oh, well, now that it's all crashed, I can focus on the job at hand, which is to introduce Tom's story. He says he has updates, but I think people really want the story. Maybe they want both. I like the stories. The updates are cool. It finds out who's a monkey and not. And then I have to go into the editor and edit things so that we have more monkeys. But still, let's find out. Let's find out, shall we?
Hello, my people. Tom here, and I've got updates. Story average. After 405 weeks, we are now averaging 19 stories a week. Total, just under 6,200. Movement. John moves into the 67th place, tied with Charlie White, Craig, Mick, Tabitha, and Mike of Mike Thinks. Julie breaks into the top 60 with 13 stories, tied with K9, Thomas of 4, Craig of Wash the Bowl, and Mike S. Fricker glides ahead of Terrence of Never Was and TJ. Welcome back, sir. If Richard posts tonight, he slides past Muncie back into the 14th position. In the iron, Serendipity is a mere 2 stories away from 100 in a row. Muncie is 1 story away from passing Guy David with 124 stories in a row. And of note, this week, your humble scribe has posted 600 stories to the site, closing in on 1,000. Tonight, I've got 2 stories. A continuation of Up the Rabbit Hole, Part 2. He moved to the back of the room, past aisles, racks, shelves, and walls of white banker boxes. A rather small window with a rather small sign announced the following: Your account. An indifferent attendant went about his work. He stepped up and started to introduce himself. Hello, my name is... Then it struck him. He had no idea who he was. Happens all the time, Master He. Seems the only thing you can't lose in this universe is a proper noun. Oh, we got the word. Just can't use it. Are you mad? And story 2. Also, a continuation of A Well-Defined Relationship, part 33. When the voyage finally came to a rest, only Dinomod was still upright. Well, that could have been worse, said Mother. Will be, said Sparky. We have 2 forces working against us. Homeostasis and physics. Doc, if I cut myself, in time what would be the outcome? Your skin would... Oh, hell. Yep, in about 20 minutes. Mr. Bannister, every action has an opposite equal reaction. Correct. We are spinning downward while sitting in a soon-to-be-crushed hole. Okay, that would constitute worse. How shall I enter that in the Count's records? Calmly inquired Mother.
Thank you, Tom. Enter that into the accounts records as awesome. You know, World Market Explorer is having a 48% off today, and I have no idea what I want to buy. I may wind up buying a large mason jar. I'm not sure. We could use a large mason jar. I don't know. Is it large enough to put a head in? Probably, but the problem is they narrow down a bit at the neck. That's what makes it difficult. You ever wonder about that? What you would do if someone gave you a human head? I'm talking about a human head, not a dog head or a cat head or a zebra head. I'm talking about a human head. Ponder the kind of jar you would put it in. And not a cookie jar. That would just be weird. Okay, let's continue. Cliff has a story or two or three or 19 per week? How the hell do we do that? I see that there are only 17 people here this week. People send in multiple stories. Okay, keep that up, people. If creativity and inspiration hit you, hit them back with stories.
Stephen knew that something was wrong when his debit card was rejected. He tapped his mobile banking app and found that the bank account that he shared with Cheryl had been drained. He quickly called his investment broker and found that his entire portfolio had been liquidated. Obviously, Cheryl had finally decided to leave him and, in the process, take every dime he had. At least, every dime she knew about. He'd never told her about the offshore account that held the money he'd skimmed from his employer. Cheryl had taken nearly $100,000, but missed over $12 million. And somehow we ended up with a theme of crime this week for my story, so here's the second story. Sometimes being a mob boss is kind of tedious. I mean, you don't get the brightest employees. For instance, when Vinny brought a guy into my office, I asked who he was. He's the guy you asked for, boss. What are you talking about, I says. I told you to bring me the books. You know, the ones we hide from the feds. I said to bring me the accounts, not some guy in a tux. Oh, sorry. I thought you said to bring you a count. That's when the old man stood up and smiled. I saw his fangs. Good evening.
I want to check your books. Ha ha ha. One account out of order. Two line items unbalanced. Three irregularities. Ha 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 ha.
I should put in sound. No, I'm not going to go down. I have a whole chip full of sound effects. I'm grateful to Chad for giving those to me, but I never use them. I have them all cataloged and written up, and I could, at the push of a button, give you a thunderclap that would make you shit your pants, which, if you're not wearing pants, that's rather weird. Thank you, Cliff. How about we move on to Julie before I make you, well... No, there won't be any thunder. Here's Julie.
Hey, everybody. Happy Sunday. It's Julie. It's 11 o'clock my time, and I'm finally getting around to recording my 100-word story. I'm actually lying on a picnic table right now with crap, listening to the stream on his sim. He's rearranged this corner, and it looks pretty good. He's moved the bench and planted new honeysuckle, and I really like what he's got playing here, but that's not why we're here. We're here to listen to a story. and I have one. The word this week, as y'all know, was account, and that's not the title of this story, which is actually a poem, but we'll give it a go anyway. It's called You Were the New Girl in Town. Your big, noisy Irish family, that bucket full of kids, in the summer of 1976, you moved to my neighborhood. We danced on my lawn. You wanted to be a cheerleader, like your big sister, and I practiced with you. When we were done, we closed our eyes up at the hazy August sky, our lips bright pink, stained from popsicles, lying in the moist grass, planning our conquests. September came. You made it. New friends and left me behind. I was not angry. I was the old girl, the good friend, the one who stayed in back, keeping account quietly. Thank you all, and I hope everyone has a great week. Thanks for listening, and I will see you soon. This is Julie signing off. Take good care.
The honeysuckle is growing all around us. Its growing discontent is overwhelming us. Thank you, Julie. Actually, Trolomu designed the original honeysuckle. It was Hillside Wildflowers Honeysuckle. But there was a problem. You see, it was non-modifiable, and it had light in it. Light coming from honeysuckle. What is this, honeysuckle fusion? Is it about to explode? Are there mantis shrimps in the honeysuckle punching the crap out of crabs so fast that light is created? No. So I found some honeysuckle textures. I found a decent twisty something whatever to drag it onto, and now the honeysuckle grows. You know who else grows? Norval Joe. He's grown 5 feet since this podcast started. He can change light bulbs for us. But that's okay. We don't use light bulbs. We use torches. Here's Norval Joe.
Hello, this is Philip Norval Joe Carroll of NorvalJoe.com, and this is my entry for the weekly challenge number 405. With a prompt of account. It's still late Saturday night, and I'm still late getting in my story. Hopefully it'll make it into the podcast tomorrow morning. Here we go.
You've known me for 14 years, Mr. Karam Pocket, Durgle told the bank account manager across his expensive mahogany desk. You processed my deposit just last week.
I'm sorry, Mr. Dunderspawn, if that is your real name. I can't find any record of your accounts. The DMV says you don't exist. And your social security number belongs to a 4-month-old baby in Winnemucca, Nevada. I'm afraid I'll have to turn your information over to the police and the FBI.
Mr. Karam Pocket stood and said, Look at the bright side, Durgle. If you don't exist, you don't have to pay taxes. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
It's in there. It's in there. It's in the podcast. It's in the podcast window. It's in Audacity, the audacity to create and inspire. I dragged it over from my weekly challenge project window. I saved it from Gmail. Gmail. Ooh, Gmail. And then it's there. And I dragged it over, and then I added it, and it's in the queue, and it's in the story. We're at 39 minutes and 30 seconds. It's in there. It's not gone. Thank you, Norval Joe. Philip Norval Joe Carroll, as they call him. It's not NaNoWriMo yet, but I can see that you're looking for a NaNoWriMo table and a NaNoWriMo desk, and a NaNoWriMo pen, and NaNoWriMo paper and NaNoWriMo thinking cap and NaNoWriMo coffee. I need to go get some coffee. I'm using my through superior firepower, my piece with a B-52 on it. It looks like a peace symbol. You know, peace. It's the perfect size for my Cafe Escapes caramel coffee. Yes, I got a whole bunch of different K-cups, and what did I end up doing? I went with just the sampler. The one that came with the one that came with it. Just so weird. And I do Kona. I do Kona coffee. I just put in the roll your own, and God, that shit's good. And then I put in Bailey's. I don't have any Bailey's in it. Ooh, I can do Bailey's. Okay, I'll be back in a minute. I'm going to go get coffee and Bailey's while you enjoy Danny, who's, I think he's having a good day.
Yes, hello, hello. Danny Dwyer here. Yada, yada, yada. Let's just assume that this is like the 10th time I've tried recording this. And the reason you should assume that is because this is literally the 10th time I've tried recording this. Let's get it right this time. I am just tired and sick of this explicitive and swear word. Anyway, here we are, Weekly Challenge 405 account. The human being that you are will be judged, justifiably so, by a society that has set the rules by which we are all to be judged, which we are all held account to. The true Glenn A. Larson way of thinking, family values set in a fictitional future without any substance. There you go. In essence, you have, or I should say, you are free to copulate without birth control. You have been rendered incapable of any reproduction. Oh, fine. How exactly am I supposed to take account of my life in this Larsonian world? Just take a knife and slice my penis off? Damn you, NBC 1979.
Thank you, Danny. And I thank you for the 10th recording time. You persevere. You never give up. You never surrender. You do and give your all for this challenge, and we appreciate it. People, go into the comments. Say that you appreciate Danny for trying 10 times. He didn't give up. He didn't just say, I screwed up this 7th time, and I'm frustrated, and I don't give a crap, and I'm giving up. No, he did not say that. He said, I will try an 8th time, and then a 9th, and then a 10th, and the 10th time stuck to the tape. It's not really tape. It's all digital these days, but it stuck to the tape, and he came through. I give up like after the 2nd or 3rd time. You don't give up. And that's why I respect you. I really do. I even love you for it. Who else loves Danny for it? Put it in the comments. I see these shows go by. One or two comments now that we've rid ourselves of those Empire Avenue parasites. So put a few comments, whether it's in the show notes. If you don't like that, put it in the Google Plus comments, the Facebook comments. Make a tweet. Make a Pinterest pin with some fashionable thing or something you want to buy. Put it in your Amazon wish list, you dipshit. Ooh, this is good. I like this. This is so pretty. You'll never fit in it. You're too fat. That's what my grandmother did with my cousin 20 years ago. No, 20? 30? 30 years ago? Holy crap. 35 years ago. Oh my God. I'm old. We still have my cousin. And my grandmother, she's pushing 100. Although she's kind of senile and stuff. I'm telling you, when Willard Scott says happy birthday to her, oh, God. I don't know. September 3rd, I think. Do I have to go up there for it? Do I have to see my brother? Does he have to see me? I don't care anymore. So let's just go right into Justin. What I'll probably do is like get a connecting flight through Portland. And then just hang around with Justin for a day and then say to my brother, you know, all the flights, it's just awful weather in September from Portland to Seattle. I'm sorry, I can't get up there. Hey, Justin, hey, you want to go to that cafe that was really good with the real good soup? Yeah, and that bookstore, too. Man, that was a cool bookstore. I like that bookstore. I keep seeing events at the bookstore. It's like, wait. Why can't I just be up there? Because I'd be so far west, and I'd miss Texas. Well, I can't have jalapenos anymore, and I can't have sriracha, and I really don't like crappy light beer. Shiner is good, although I haven't drank a Shiner in forever. And brisket. Oh, my God. The brisket at Good Company. Okay, so but I hate flying. Oh my God, it sucks. Just anyway, here's Justin, and cool.
Your space turtle, Justin Lemaster here, with my 100-word story. I'm going to not stand on the squeaky part of the floor this week. He wants to suck your blood. He'll lay out tunnels through the ground. In the center is the queen. He sleeps in a shell below the earth, one he carried that is many times heavier than his own weight. During the night, if you picnic, he may steal your food before he steals your blood. You can step on him, and he will not die, but if you have wooden cleats on, or poke him with a twig, he will perish. If your numbers are off, he can figure them out for you. Who is he? He's an accountant.
Thank you, Justin. And that's not the squeaky part of the floor. That's a cat. I haven't stepped on a cat in a long time. But the girls are good about staying out from underfoot. Although, Tinny will wrap around your legs when it's feeding time. And she will occasionally squeak and she'll go, please, please, please. And it's really weird because when she opens her mouth, her jaw is a little bit out of alignment. So it looks real weird. It's like, that's not quite right. And then, of course, she looks straight up. And if the kitchen light is on, you see her pretty blue eyes. They're so creepy. Anyway. I think she's asleep in the other room. Gina did laundry yesterday, so there's no pants in a pile. She likes sleeping in a pile of pants. So, weirdo. Speaking of people who are sleeping in a pile of pants, it's Muncie. Yes, Muncie. And he had a good topic suggestion. I'm going to add that to the stack. Here's Muncie.
Greetings, Wrecking Balls, from Munzie. Here in my temporary Munz cave, recording this, my story for you. The second and last in this living space, the last of the month, and yes, the last for you, while you are my wrecking balls. Sorry to see the nickname go, but as they say, you can wreck the balls out of a man, but you can't wreck the man out of his balls. It makes no sense, but search your heart. You know that they say it. Another Pep Talk by Christopher Monroe. There will come a day, I know, when I will be held to account for my actions. A day where every wrong I've ever done, every hurt I've visited upon those who least deserve it, every moment of weakness or childishness, of short-sighted, arrogant selfishness, will be thrown back in my face, that I might look upon the depth and breadth of every sin I've ever committed upon another, and the hurt my sin has caused them. And when that day comes, truly will I know despair. However, this is not that day. Now, let's get out to the pub. Broken Escalator, ChristopherMonroe.blogspot.com, and tweets at Munzee Munzee. That's it for me, Wrecking Balls. But I'll be back next week with a new space, a new life, and a new nickname for you. Talk to you then.
No, I want to be a wrecking ball forever. How could you do this to me? Raise my hopes up and hit me, well, like a wrecking ball. Do you think that they had to do experiments with the wrecking ball over the years? They started with a wrecking cube, then a wrecking rhombus, then, oh wait, a ball! A ball! And then it was tiny and it didn't really wreck things, so they had to make it huge, but they couldn't lift it, and it ended up wrecking the wrecker. How do you wreck a wrecker anyway? How do you wreck a wrecking ball? With a bigger wrecking ball, of course. What do they make wrecking balls out of, anyway? Oh, well. What? Oh, yeah. Thank you, Muncie, for reminding us that time is fleeting. What? Oh, Planet Z? You want to hear his story, too? Well, all right. Let me go ahead and check the daisy chain of emails. That went to there, that went to there, that went to there. That's there. Drag it over and... Here's Planet Z.
It's all about choice, right? First we had all those radio and TV stations. Then came cable. Blockbuster came and went. We bought a bunch of DVDs at Best Buy. Now I've got Netflix and Amazon Prime. I don't even need the video on Amazon Prime. I just want my shit to arrive faster. Then there's music on YouTube, but I hate making playlists. That's what Pandora is for, right? The thing even knows what stuff I like, too, just like Netflix and Amazon Prime and every other service. Oh, this noise. I got a fucking headache. How about some silence.
And that's it for this week. A whole bunch of stories on the word, on the inspiration, on the concept, the platonic form of account. There's a whole lot more up on the website at oneadayuntilthedayidie.com. There's links to people's websites, even if it's just an About Me site. But you're better than that, aren't you? You can learn more about the people who write, who are inspired. Maybe it will inspire you to write. If you used to write and you left, come back. The clarion bells are calling. Clarion, clarion, how can you resist? What else? I don't know what else. I just thank you for listening. Thank you for being a part of the weekly challenge this week, no matter what you did. Even if all you did was just point and go, funny. That's okay. I'll see you next week, when the topic will be church. And, as always, keep it brief. Funny.